Amen. You be seated. Welcome. My name's Jeff. I get to be the privilege here. I have the privilege of being the pastor here, and I'm excited. I think I'm like a little intoxicated with the chili. Okay, so you know I was gonna make chili today, but Charles talked trash this week, and I just said for the sake of unity, we're not gonna do that. So I'll just let you know win. But I actually heard others are gonna beat you, so we'll see. I'm excited about food, man, but let's open God's word and let's see what he's got for us today. Hey, real quick, our youth group served today with the greeting and reading of the word and all that other stuff. Would you give them a hand? Let them know that we appreciate them, man. Man, it's good. I always love the saying, my pastor grew up, that these young people aren't just the future of the church. They are the church, right? They are the church, and glad that they are serving and using their gifts to serve this morning. Today, we are opening God's Word together, and we're continuing in our walk through the book of Acts. I'll be honest with you, I hope we never get tired of diving into Acts. What a book it is. We get to hear just some of the things, right? We get to hear the resurrected Jesus, our Lord and Savior, give us our mission. We see the promise of the Holy Spirit and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We see the start of the New Testament church, and we see their examples of what they're devoted to and how these churches and Christians are fully and prayerfully dependent on God. We see them united and dependent on one another. We get to see God use them to share the gospel, and so many come to know Christ. They give their life to Jesus. We also see in Acts there are threats and there are persecution. But every single time, we know that there will never be anything that can stop the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ or his church. And we even get to see examples of how we're to live within the church family. We get to see how God is at work using us. We always say God is using ordinary people to do extraordinary things. So he's doing things in and through them in the church. And so we get to see the gospel go into new cities and new regions. We get to see the world turned upside down with the news of Jesus. And as we saw last week, we get to see a God that is, one, big enough to keep his mission going. He's sovereign over all things, right? He is sustaining all things, but at the same time, he is able to tend to us personally. He is not a distant God. He is a loving and personal God. Jesus came to be with us, and he sees us, he knows us, and he walks with us daily. If you missed last week, jump on our YouTube or Facebook or our website and check out that sermon, just how God encourages the discouraged. One of the things that we've been able to see over and over again throughout Acts is how Christians are telling people about Jesus wherever they go. And so many people call on Jesus to save them, but we're going to see something today that is often overlooked, but just as important. We're going to pick up where we left off last week in Acts chapter 18. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open there. We've got Bibles on that back table that are our gift to you, so go ahead and grab one of those if you need it. But we're going to see that God doesn't just call us to share the gospel and see people saved, but he also calls us to discipleship, right? He calls us to grow and to help others grow in their walk with Jesus. The Bible tells us in Romans 10 that all who confess Jesus as Lord, all who believe in their hearts that God rose Jesus from the dead after he died for our sins on the cross, it says all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And we're saved immediately. We're forgiven immediately. We are immediately adopted into the family of God. But here's another reality. Jesus doesn't just call us to be on Team Jesus. Right? He doesn't call us to just be converted. He doesn't just call us to get saved and then that's it. He calls us to be his disciples, to be Jesus followers, to continue to learn and grow, to be more and more like Jesus. And so today, we're going to see in our text the importance of discipleship and growing in the life Jesus calls us to. This is a challenging text. And so after today, go home and just dive into it and let God continue to pour into it. Some text you look at and man, it kind of writes the sermon for me. You know, it just lays it out. This is a challenging text, but we're going to walk through it. If you haven't opened your Bibles already, Acts chapter 18, we're going to begin in verse 23. A little background to catch us up. Leading up to this verse, Paul had been in the city of Corinth. And while he was there, he met a godly couple named Aquila and Priscilla. They rhyme. That's why I married Jessica, because it's Jeff and Jess, right? I remember your name. We're good. I met you this morning. We're good. Okay. Or went my joke. All right. But when he left Corinth, he took this couple with him. He took the couple with him. They went to Ephesus together to minister there. So the three of them are there for a short time. Paul leaves Aquila and Priscilla there in Ephesus, and he goes back to Antioch. He's going back to his sending church to check in with them, let them know all that God is doing. And Priscilla and Aquila are right there in Ephesus. And so we're going to read this passage together. Would you guys stand with me and follow along as I read? Here's what God's word says, Acts chapter 18, verse 23. It says, having spent some time there, so he's in Antioch, he left and passed successively through the Galatian region and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. That's Paul. Now a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scripture. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wanted to go to Achaia, the brethren, so that's the church, Christians, the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him, to receive him. And when he had arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, demonstrating by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. As we walk through our text, we'll read through the first 10 verses of chapter 19 as well. But let's pray this morning. Father God, we just come before you today and we say, teach us. God, if there are people here today that have not given their life to Jesus, they've not called on Jesus to save them, we pray, Lord, that they would do that today, that they would hear the truth of who Jesus is and that he loves them and that he came and died on the cross for them and rose again and he wants to save them, forgive them, and adopt them. God, I pray, Lord, for those that are Christians and, God, that we learn an important truth that all of us need to grow. All of us need to continue to pursue you until we are with you. So, God, I pray, Lord, that you would be completely in charge today. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Paul and his team have given us an incredible example of how God can and use us to go out and share the gospel and to see people saved. But in verse 23, he also examples for us the need for discipleship, the need to teach and encourage and help others grow in their walk with Jesus. We mentioned this earlier, that Jesus doesn't want us to just be converted. He wants us to truly follow him and to grow in our relationship and our walk with him. In fact, in Matthew chapter 28, some of the last words Jesus ever spoke before he ascended to go to heaven, he gives us what we call the Great Commission. And he says this, and this commission is for us. He said, "All authority has been given to me," Jesus says, "in heaven and on earth." He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. We hear Jesus say throughout Acts at the beginning, be my witnesses. Tell other people about me. Share the good news that I came to die for them and to save them. But then here he also says, I want you to make disciples. A disciple of Jesus, or really just a disciple in general, is a student. It's a learner. It's a follower. A disciple is someone who takes up the ways of another. And so when Jesus says make disciples, he's saying make disciples of Jesus. He's saying those who trust in me and are saved by me, they're to follow me and learn from me. We just sang a song about being adopted. Right, when we are saved, Ephesians tells us that we are adopted into the family of God. Ephesians 5 tells us that we are to imitate God as beloved children of his. Right, so as my kiddos would look at me and imitate me, even if I don't want them to, you get me? Sometimes we're like, don't imitate that, right? But we can look at a perfect Father in heaven. We can imitate him. 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, hey, you guys imitate me as I imitate who? Christ, right? So us learning from him is to be with him and to imitate him. And so in this passage in Matthew, Jesus tells us how we do that. Once we're saved by Jesus, the first thing we're to do, church, is to be baptized. He says, baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And let me just throw this out there. If you're saved today, You need to follow that up with obedience and baptism, right? Baptism does not save you, but Jesus says it, and that's good enough for us. Amen, church, right? And so we're identifying with Christ. And then he says, teach them. He says, teach them all I have commanded you. Jesus is calling us to follow him and to experience life change that only he can provide. And so we get to see that lived out today. So Paul, in his previous visits, if you haven't been here, Paul went out on, this is his second missionary journey. He's about to start his third one, but he's going out and he's sharing the gospel. People are getting saved. And so in previous visits, he would go into these cities. People were saved. Churches were started. And then at the very beginning of his third missionary journey, he's leaving Antioch after checking in with his church. And it says this, he left and passed successively through the Galatian region and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Paul is setting a tone for us today as to what we're going to be talking about. As Christians, we're to both tell people about Jesus, but also to make discipleship, learning, and growing a priority. It needs to be a priority in your life and in my life. It needs to be a priority in our church. We talk a lot about sharing the gospel, but we also talk about how do we grow, right, in our relationship with Christ. It has to be a priority. And so it says that Paul went out and he was strengthening the disciples. Here's what Paul is doing. He still cares about these new Christians, right? He wants to see them grow in their walk with Christ. And so he heads out back to these Christians that were saved with the intent to strengthen them. So the word strengthening comes from a Greek word. It's a really great word. It's a compact word that means to come alongside someone to continue to strengthen them. It's a great example for us. We are to come alongside our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're to encourage one another. We're to strengthen one another. We're to teach one another. We're to help others understand Scripture, disciple them, and help them grow in their walk with Jesus. And we think about that word strengthening, again, it's a great word. It implies that someone, you're not just doing it on your own, someone is coming alongside you or beside you, and it's a word that references continual action. So it means we keep at it. It's something that we keep doing. We keep strengthening, we allow others to keep strengthening us. We keep pouring into others, and others keep pouring into us. Growing and discipleship is a lifelong process. It's not something that you take a class on, you get a button, and then you move on, right? It's a lifelong process. I love this phrase. Christians, this is a good phrase to live by. We are to grow to be more and more like Jesus until we are with Jesus. And Paul sets us up by showing the importance of not just sharing Jesus, but also discipleship and growth. So Paul left Antioch, and he's going to these cities to strengthen these new Christians. Now, remember, we've got Aquila and Priscilla. And Paul left them in Ephesus. Paul trusted them. They're a godly couple. And so they stay there in Ephesus to minister to the people in that city. And that brings us to verse 24. As we read the rest of chapter 18 and the first part of 19, we're going to see who Jesus calls us to be. Right? Jesus calls us to be Christ followers. Right? To live like Christ, to pursue him, to keep our eyes on him. He calls us to be his disciples. So we're going to see two different scenarios in our text today. For the first one, we're going to see a man who is saved, a Christian, but he still has growing to do. He still needs someone to help disciple him. And the second, we're going to see Paul use God's word to share the gospel with those who are not saved yet and then disciple them. And so to see who Jesus calls us to be as his disciples, let's look at verse 24. Here's the thing for us, church. If you're saved today, man, we really want to pay attention to this next part with Apollos, right? How do we grow in our walk with Christ? If you're not saved today, listen to the life that Jesus wants for you. We're introduced to a man named Apollos. The author, Luke, writes the book of Acts, and he gives us a lot of detail about him. It says this, now a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the Scripture. So we first see that he's a Jewish man from Alexandria, right? When Apollos was growing up in Alexandria, they had a very large Jewish population. And so he wasn't born in Israel, but he grew up as a Jew. So he's learning from the Jews. He's studying the Old Testament. He's studying God's word with them. But it also says one thing my wife always says about me, that I'm an eloquent man. Thanks for laughing, okay? But eloquent man, does anybody ever use that word anymore? Like, he was an eloquent man, but here's what that means. He was well-learned. He was well-educated. And it says, I love this part, church, that he was mighty in the Scriptures. Now remember, at this point, they had the teachings of Jesus. They knew what Jesus had taught. The words and teachings of Jesus were being passed down, but they didn't have the whole Bible yet. They didn't have Genesis through Revelation yet, right? Apollos, being mighty in Scripture, is speaking to his knowledge and understanding of the Old Testament. But church, what a great descriptor. I would love for it to be said of us at Authentic Life Church that we are mighty in the Scriptures. We're to be in the Word, to know the Word, and to live by the Word. You want to know how to grow in your walk with Christ? Be in the Word, know the Word, and to live by the Word of God. We see more, verse 25, it said, this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus. So not only had he studied himself, and he had been in the Word himself, but Apollos also had others instructing him in the ways of the Lord. Church, he took the time to allow others to come alongside him to teach him and to show him how to understand God's Word and how to live out the ways of the Lord. And then it says that being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus. So Apollos, he grew up, he heard God's Word. He heard the Old Testament. He was mighty in the Scripture. He studied it and grew it. He had others come alongside him to teach him and disciple him. And here we also see that he's teaching accurately the ways of Jesus. In other words, he knew Jesus. He knew that Jesus was the promised one and the Savior. Throughout the Old Testament, you study the Old Testament, you know what it does? It points you to the Savior, right? And so throughout the whole Old Testament, we're pointed to the promised one who is going to come and save and rescue us from hell. He knew that. We see throughout the Old Testament, there is going to be a Savior. There is going to be a King. There is going to be a Lord that will reign forever. And because of this man studying and the teaching that he received, he knew who Jesus was. And so fervent in spirit, he was a great speaker. He went out and told people about Jesus, and he did it accurately. This man had a platform. God had given him the ability to go and travel and speak to people about God's Word and about Jesus. So now look back with me to verse 25. It says, he was speaking and teaching accurately concerning the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted, don't miss this, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. Who's this John guy? We're going to talk about that. So Apollos knew the Old Testament. He had been taught, he lived it out, what he knew and what he had learned. He knew who Jesus was, that he was the Savior and King, but the author makes it clear that he still had some learning to do. Because it says that he was only acquainted with the baptism of John. So who's John? It's John the Baptist, right? What did he do? He baptized people, right? This was Jesus' cousin. He's related to Jesus. And God had a very specific job for John the Baptist. His job was to go out before Jesus' ministry and prepare the way for Jesus, right? He was calling people to repent. Right? He's calling God's people to turn back to God, to get their hearts right with God, so that they would be ready for the Savior who is about to come out on stage. Are you with me, church? Right? He is preparing people. So John's baptism was important for many people because it said, hey, pay attention, church. Let's get our heart right back with God, right? Let's be ready for Jesus. But his baptism didn't save them. When people were baptized by John, they were showing others, hey, we're turning back to God. We're preparing our hearts for the one to come. And Apollos was very well aware of that, but he was still missing something pretty important. Now, for us, we kind of like, how did you miss this, Apollos? Remember, Apollos lived in a very unique time. You and I, we read the Bible. We see the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's complete. We have the life and ministry of Jesus written out for us, and we can clearly see the life of Jesus. We hear his teaching. We see that Jesus went to the cross. He died for our sins. He was buried. On the third day, he rose again. And then after that, he gives a command. We read about it right here in Matthew 28. Jesus gives the command. He said, hey, once you're saved, show the world that you're saved by being baptized. Now, church, baptism is not salvation, but it is a public profession of our faith in Jesus Christ. New Christians, after they're saved, Jesus says, go into the water and be baptized. I love this, church. Baptism shows us, it illustrates for us the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, right? Jesus was on the cross. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. Amen? That's good news for us. But it also does something else. It shows us our life, right? That we were dead in our sins, right? We're dead in our sins, but now that we're saved, we have a new life in Christ. That's baptism. It's not salvation, but we do need to do that to be obedient to Jesus. And Apollos, because he wasn't there, because he didn't have the whole, you know, Genesis to Revelation, because he didn't have all of that, he didn't know of Jesus' command to be baptized after salvation. So he missed that. And so look at what happens. He began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. So he's doing what he's been doing. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, remember, godly couple, they're there to help with the minister to the people in Ephesus. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. How do we know the ways of God, church? We know his ways from his word. This godly couple, they come alongside Apollos and they teach him. Now, before we go on, I want us to give us our first point for our notes. If you got your bulletin, we're going to have notes on there if you want to fill those out. But as we look at what Paul did and as we look at what Apollos and Aquila and Priscilla are doing, we're going to see and answer some of these questions on here. We see that Jesus calls us not just to be converted to Jesus. He calls us to be Christ followers. He calls us to be disciples who are word-driven. This is important, church. If you're sitting here today and say, man, I'm saved, but I don't know how to grow in my walk with Christ, boom, be word-driven, right? We know that Paul is driven and led by the word of God. We see here that Apollos is driven by the word of God. Church, he's mighty in the word. He is trained in the word. He is living out the word. He has others teach and example the word for him, right? He is teaching accurately who Jesus is and using the Old Testament. He's using the word to point people to Jesus, the Savior and Lord. And then Aquila and Priscilla, they hear him speak, right? And they come alongside him doing what? Using the word to help him know the ways of God more accurately. Church, in our day, in our culture, it's so important that we don't miss this. Don't miss this, church. As Christ followers, we are not to be cultural driven. We are not to be, I'm going to get a little more personal every time. You ready? We're not to be emotionally driven. Ready? Cover up your toes. I hope you brought your steel-toe boots today. We're not to be our own opinion driven either. Right? How we live in our marriage, how we love our spouse, how we love one another, how we lead our homes in our marriage is to be word-driven, not cultural-driven. How we live as parents and as children is to be driven by the word of God, not by our community. How we love is to be word-driven. How we vote is to be word-driven. How we work and neighbor is to be centered on the word of God, church. When situations come up in life, when decisions have to be made, when life gets hard, we're to go to God's word and we see what he says. Because honestly, the ways of the world, the ways of the culture, the ways of us, they have no place in our life if they're in opposition to what God says. That's where we say amen. Are you with me, church? We listen to so many other voices and we miss out on going to God's word first. Be in the word, church. And so looking at Apollos, let's be in the word and let's surround ourselves with people who are in the word. Let's have others pour into us who can teach us God's word. Let's be in the word to see the life and the ministry of Jesus. Let's be men and women of God, followers of Jesus who are in the word, church. I'm going to be honest with you. You can't grow in your walk with Christ if you're not in the word. You can grow in your walk with the world. And this is hard because so many things in the world want to drive you. You can say, I'm not driven by anything. You are all, I'm driven by something. All of us are. And the world wants to drive us. And what's even harder, I think, is that we too easily allow our fleshly opinions, our emotions, and our situations drive our life instead of letting the word drive our life. Church, I promise you, we can trust the word of God. I love what the psalmist says. The psalmist says, he says, the entirety, not just the parts I agree with, not just the parts that are easy, the entirety of your word is true, God. We see that in Psalm, we see that his word is good. We can trust when 2 Timothy 3 says that all scripture is breathed out by God. It's good for us. It's good for our lives, Christians. Jesus calls you and me to be followers of his, to learn and grow from him, and we cannot do that if we are not word-driven. The second thing we see about following Jesus as his disciples, look back with me to verse 23. Paul goes back to the Christians that he had led to the Lord, and he goes back to those new churches, and it says he's strengthening all the disciples. Remember, that means to come alongside or beside someone to continually strengthen them. Paul is continually coming alongside these Christians to help them grow in their walk with Jesus. And then we see in Apollos' life, this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord. Back, and then in verse 26, Apollos was speaking, Aquila and Priscilla were listening, and guess what they did? They took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. The next truth that we need to understand, to be the Christ followers and the disciples of Jesus that he has called us to be, we need to be Christ followers who are receiving and teaching gospel instruction. We see these new Christians here. They're receiving instruction from Paul. And now we see Apollos, right? What's he doing? He's receiving instruction from Priscilla and Aquila. And I think Apollos' example in that moment is really good for us. Because let's just be honest, he's a man with an impressive ministry resume. He was mighty in the word. He was instructed by some of the best and the brightest. He was a brilliant speaker. God had given him the platform to speak. And I think we see two different examples here. The first one is that Aquila and Priscilla, we think about those and we come alongside someone, they don't rebuke him publicly. They don't embarrass him or shame him. It says they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Again, the author uses a great phrase. They took him aside. This is a Greek word that talks about a loving and gentle approach. To come alongside someone to help them. They gently approach him and they lovingly teach him what he needs to know. You know what they did is they saw a man of God that was doing really great things for God, but they saw a gap. They saw a gap in his teaching and in his knowledge. And so they knew he needed a little more teaching. And in a God-honoring way, they come alongside him and teach him. Church, they don't come and smack him over the head with the Bible. Sometimes, look, we just need to hear that as Christians sometimes. Sometimes we just get really mad with somebody. We just like want to Bible thump them, you know? Man, we get a great example on here on how to teach others or even correct others. Even correct others. We're called to come alongside them. Here's two ways that we do that. We come alongside them lovingly and with an open Bible. You hear me? We come alongside them lovingly and with an open Bible. Remember, as we pour into others, we do so with open Bibles because we are word-driven, not opinion-driven. If you're ever sitting down with a Christian counselor that doesn't share God's word with you, you might want to find a different one. Amen? Right? If you ever go to someone and say, I'm struggling in my marriage, I'm struggling as a parent, I'm struggling as a neighbor, I'm struggling in whatever it may be. Right? If you're going to invite them to come alongside you, man, make sure they're word-driven. The second thing we see is that Apollos is also teachable. So they come alongside him with an open Bible. They're loving, and they come alongside him. But then Apollos is teachable. You know, I just met with two of our leaders today. One of the things that we require of all of our leaders at Authentic Life, one of the things is that they're teachable, they're coachable. Because guess what that means? I have to be teachable and coachable, right? Any teacher in our church needs to be teachable and coachable. Apollos probably had more education and more experience than Priscilla and Aquila combined. But he had a humble and a teaching heart. I love what one commentator said. He said this. He said, we should never think we are beyond the need for further instruction in God's word, no matter how long we have been Christians or how many degrees we hold. Paul speaks to this. Philippians 3:13, Paul's talking about his walk with Christ and growth in his walk with Christ. He says, brethren, he's talking to the brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. He then says, I press on toward the prize, the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying, I have more growing to do, right? And let's just make sure we understand this. If Paul is saying it, y'all got to say it too. right? I got to say it too, right? Paul wants to continue to learn and grow so he can be more and more like the one who saved him until he's with the one who saved him. Church, Paul is a great theologian. He's a missionary. He's a preacher and teacher. He's a leader to pastors. But he's saying we all still have some growing and learning to do. And as we become more and more like Jesus, as Christ followers, all of us, every single person in this room and online today, all of us need to both receive instruction, but also teach gospel instruction. Let me give a warning real quick. With so much access to different teachers and speakers, we have to be cautious. Because not every person who calls themselves a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, an author, or a spiritual influencer is biblical. We've got to know that. Right? Not every person who calls himself a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, an author, a spiritual leader, a spiritual influencer is biblical. And that's why it's so important that we go to God's word and say, hey, is what they're saying to me, does it line up with God's word? Church, here's some homework for you. Go home and see if what I'm saying lines up with God's word. Are you with me? So we lovingly come alongside with one another with open Bibles. We're also to remain teachable, so we can be more and more like him. I love the result of what happens. So Apollos is up speaking. Aquila and Priscilla take him out for some tacos, and they talk about the Bible. They talk about baptism. I'm assuming he gets saved at that point, right? And then maybe more tacos. Anybody love tacos in here? As we're thinking about chili, man, I'm a taco guy. But I love what happens after that moment. Verse 26. They took him aside and they explained to him the way of God more accurately. After all of that happened, and when he wanted to go across to Achaia, the brethren, so brothers and sisters in Christ, Christians, encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. Basically given, hey, I'm going to give you a letter of recommendation. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, demonstrating by the scripture that Jesus was the Christ. Apollos already had much education. He was mighty in the word. He was well taught. He knew Jesus, and now he knows even more, church, because a loving couple was able to come alongside him and said, hey, I got more to teach you. And now out of that, he wants to go and continue to teach. He wants to go to Achaia. That's in Corinth. And the Christians in Ephesus, I love this. They now trust Apollos enough to go out with their letter of recommendation. I have people ask me all the time, would you be a reference for me on a job application? Would you write a reference letter for me to go to school or whatever it is? And I'm like, yes, as long as you're okay with me telling the truth. Amen, church? Like, we should do that. We shouldn't just write a letter of recommendation because, you know, are you with me? Like, so they're sending out a truthful recommendation. We truly recommend this guy. The church is saying, hey, receive this brother. Let him speak and let him help you and let him teach. He's the real deal. And it says when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. In other words, Apollos goes to people who had been saved by grace through faith in Jesus. By the way, it's the only way to be saved. You and I cannot earn salvation on our own. We cannot earn heaven on our own. Just a side note, this is free, church. There's no scale when we get into heaven to see if our good outweighs our bad. You will not find that in the Bible. Are you with me? It's important for us to know Jesus, faith in Jesus alone. He went to the cross. He carried your sin, my sin, took him, defeated death, hell, sin in the grave, and he rose again. And so he saves us. And he's able to come alongside those that gave their life to Christ. They were saved by Jesus, and he disciples them and he helps them. And then, remember, he's got a great understanding of Jewish culture and the Old Testament. Apollos being word-driven and teachable, he's now able to stand firm and powerfully refute the false teaching of the Jews. There are some times that we need to take a brother or sister aside, especially within the church, and say, hey, let's talk. But if you got someone standing up and trying to steer someone away from Jesus, I think it's okay for us to publicly say, knock that off, right? We're not going to allow that. And he was able to clearly show them that Jesus was the Christ. He was the Lord and Savior. So Christ followers, disciples of Jesus, were to be word-driven, not cultural, emotional, or opinion-driven. Amen? Right? We're to be willing to be taught and also teach biblical and gospel instruction. Then we come to verse 19. Or chapter 19. I'm going to try to catch us up. If I draw a maze for you and you all are confused, just go with it, okay? Remember, Paul was in Ephesus with Aquila and Priscilla. He goes to Antioch, back to his sending church, right? He's saying, he's accountable to that church. He's checking in with them and letting them know all that God is doing. But Aquila and Priscilla were still in Ephesus, right? They ministered there, and that's where Apollos comes. He goes to Ephesus. But now Apollos is being sent out to Achaia, which is in Corinth. You guys tracking with me so far? All right. Wish I had like a board. We'd draw it. So he goes to Corinth to serve and teach there, and guess what Paul does? Paul now goes back to Ephesus. Are we all caught up? Everybody good? Okay. So here's what happens. It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, so he's left, Paul is now passing through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. So Paul gets back to Ephesus and he sees some disciples. Now remember, the definition of a disciple is someone that is a student, they're a learner, they're a follower of someone. But we're going to see that they weren't disciples or followers of Jesus yet. So verse 2, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "No, we've not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling people to believe in who was coming after him, that is in Jesus." Remember, John's saying, "Hey, let's get our hearts right, people, right? Let's get ready for Jesus." And I love this church. Paul engages with a group of religious people. Religious people and unreligious people need to know the truth of Jesus. We can tell by their response that they had learned from John the Baptist and his teaching. They were probably baptized by John the Baptist, but they missed the message of John the Baptist. John was preparing them for Jesus. John was calling them to get their hearts right with God and get ready for Jesus. And so they actually missed out on Jesus. They didn't understand that Jesus was the one John was preparing them for. And so when they missed Jesus, they would have missed the teaching of Jesus. Jesus says in John 14, he tells his disciples, he says, "Hey, when I'm gone, I'm going to send you another to you. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit." Jesus also says in Acts 1 that when he's gone to heaven, he's going to send the Holy Spirit to indwell all of those who are saved. If you're saved today, the Holy Spirit lives within you. And we learn more about the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 1:13. It says, in him. So when you're in Christ, when you're saved by Christ, you also were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. When you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of salvation, when you believed in it. Are you with me, church? So when we get saved, we are sealed. What a beautiful thing, church. Right? When we are saved by Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God seals us until we're with Jesus. That's good news. When you are saved, you will have the Holy Spirit, and he gives evidence that we're saved. And so Paul is telling them, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. And so Paul, again, he lovingly come alongside them, and he tells them who Jesus is. He tells them, don't put your faith in something that you did. Don't put your faith in some man. Put your faith in Jesus, Emmanuel, God in the flesh, who came to be with us, who came to live and die and rise again to rescue you. That's what he's telling them. Verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. There were in all about 12 men. So they hear the gospel, they believe in the gospel, and they respond by showing the world that they belong to Jesus. They get baptized. And we see here that they're now saved. They received the Holy Spirit. And it says here they had evidence of the Holy Spirit. In this moment, it said they started speaking in tongues and prophesying. Now, let's be clear. Most of the time in the New Testament, when someone gets saved, we don't see that, right? We don't see people speaking in tongues and doing that in that moment. But remember, if you go back with the apostles, they received the Holy Spirit the day of Pentecost. Right after Jesus left, they had the same evidence, right? The Lord is using this to show them the evidence that they are now truly saved and are filled with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus calls us to be Christ followers, disciples who are word-driven, who will receive and teach gospel instruction and be always growing, and we're to be Christ followers and disciples who are also making disciples. A friend of mine at his church, he says it this way. He goes, we are disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. We're to make disciples. Because here's the reality. If you are saved by God, you're learning and growing in your walk with God, you're driven, you're still called by Jesus to go out into your neighbors or maybe to all nations, to all people groups, to all beliefs, to all cultures, and preach the gospel of Jesus. Now, before you say, I'm not a preacher, we're all preachers. Look at your social media page. You're proclaiming something. Are we proclaiming Jesus? And that's what Paul does here. He tells them the truth about Jesus. They get saved, and then he continues to teach them and help them grow. Look at the verse 8. We'll just read the rest of this. And he entered the synagogue and continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading with them about the kingdom of God. Verse 9, we always see this opposition. But when some were becoming hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the people, he withdrew from them. He just saying, hey, we're just going to get out of here. He took the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. This took place for 2 years so that all who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Paul's exampling for us who we are and what we're called to do. He continues to share Jesus and call people to follow Jesus. And he continues to teach and pour into others so that they can grow in their walk with Jesus. Church, as we close today, too often people surrender their life to Christ and they're so happy because they got their get out of hell free card. That's a really good card to have, honestly, right? I mean, Jesus paid for us. We're saved from that. But they don't realize that God is calling them to so much more. If you're saved today, Jesus doesn't just want you to be converted. He wants to see your life change. He's calling you to, you're saved, you're an adopted child of God. And you know what God says? Imitate me. Jesus says, imitate me. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. He saves us and he brings us into a loving relationship where we're to be with him, to learn from him, imitate him, and grow in our walk with him. We need to know that for us to truly live the life God calls us to, it does start by being saved. But church, this is a lifelong journey of being with God, being in his word, allowing others to teach and pour into you. It's about asking or allowing others to disciple you. It's about being driven by the word, right? Living for Jesus with one another. That's the life Jesus calls us to. Word driven, teaching and receiving gospel instruction, and inviting others to know and walk with Jesus with you. Let's pray.